Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Gardaí have published the photographs of dozens of rioters, up to about 100, who they believe took part in some of the violent disorder that we witnessed in Dublin city centre last year, because they're currently trying to identify a number of potential suspects as part of their ongoing investigation, and they've issued this fairly unprecedented move for public information. Olga Cronin is a senior policy officer in surveillance and human rights at the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Olga, what do you make of the Gardaí's move about this?
Hi, Andrea. Well, the guards, you know, for many years through Crime Crawl, for example, or other, you know, media, you know, have published images of people that they've been, you know, they haven't been able to identify, and they want the public's help in identifying. And there are legitimate reasons for police to do this kind of thing. They have to do so, though, in compliance with various laws, including data protection. And they also need to consider the principles of necessity and proportionality when they release images to the media. So they need to determine that it's necessary and that the publicity is in the public interest. And, you know, this exercise has to be carried out for each image, though, on a case-by-case basis. Incidentally, we actually don't know what guidelines or protocols the guards follow when it comes to releasing imagery material to the media, and it would be useful if they could publish those, as happens in other jurisdictions. But yeah, the difference between these previous efforts and what's happened this morning is the scale. As you said, they posted 99 images of people online, and they're inviting the public to identify them, and members of the public can do so anonymously. So, you know, it's a significant outsourcing, really, of police work by the guards. And, you know, unfortunately indicates that the Gardaí haven't been able to do, you know, one of their primary functions, which is to, you know, carry out normal police work and to apprehend people who've allegedly acted illegally. And so it does seem odd to ICCL that the Gardaí would do this exercise. You know, it's a quintessential PR name and shame exercise coming up to the anniversary of the incidents last year. And, you know, a number of issues arise, like people have a right to presumption of innocence and the right to fair trial. If these, you know, images are circulated widely with the person's identification, could they end up before a potential juror? Will that impact on the trial? The Garda website says these images should not be used for any other purpose, but by inviting the public at large to identify these people, they are, by extension, inviting the public to effectively dox these individuals. And, you know, excuse me, from the Garda Twitter account, telling people that they may be having trouble accessing the site, it would appear many members of the public are very curious to have a look. But this also raises further concerns. So, you know, like perhaps accidentally, but are the Gardaí knowingly or unknowingly inviting any kind of vigilante justice? Are the Gardaí putting any of these people's safety at risk? The guards themselves say these images are being put out there as a means to either rule in or rule out people of interest.
But sorry, they're also inviting people who may, you know, who could be listening to this or have maybe, you know, seen the guards post on Twitter or on X or in any of the other newspaper articles that are floating around today about this story. They're also inviting people who identify themselves and know they were there on the night. That is your opportunity now to come forward.
Yeah, that's true. It is. That is something that they've invited people to do. But there are other concerns, Andrea, like some of those images are children, you know. What if, you know, will some people who maybe dislike some of people, other people give Gardaí false names and addresses of individuals whom they dislike to have the Gardaí wrongfully or arbitrarily interfere with their lives? You know, could the Gardaí have accidentally published an image of someone who was a passerby or with someone who committed a crime or allegedly committed a crime, and now they've been mislabeled, you know, as a potential rioter? Or what if an employer saw an image of an employee, you know, in the Garda upload of images, and it turned out that they had committed no crime? What will the repercussions for them be? And so my point is that these are questions that we, you know, asked ourselves when we saw this story this morning. And we, you know, we're also asking how the Gardaí would protect against these things. And the answer to those questions, you know, are entirely clear to us.
How is it different, though, from the likes of Crime Call or Crime Watch? We see photographs distorted. You know, they're not even distorted. We see images, CCTV footage, images played out, you know, of somebody allegedly shoplifting or a break-in at a house or an assault on the street. We see that nearly, what, once a week or once every 2 weeks when it's on?
I suppose I think there's probably two major differences. One is the scale of this. It's you know, and it's connected to an event that, you know, was such a high-profile event in Dublin and, you know, international media. And so the likelihood of people, you know, trying to kind of carry out citizen police work almost, you know, is, you know, much, much greater than, let's say, if someone saw something in Crime Call. It's been a while since I've seen Crime Call, but I'm not sure that they, you know, would have this amount of imagery, this amount of pictures of people who you can't possibly see have perhaps committed a crime or are, you know, acting in a way that seems to be, you know, unlawful. So I think it's the scale that's different. You know, and I suppose, you know, like the issue, the wider issue here is that on the night of the looting and the disorder in Dublin, you know, the issue really was the inability to stop people from entering and exiting stores and acting unlawfully, you know, before Gardaí. The issue wasn't technology, like technology wasn't going to stop people. And we're 1 year on from the looting and disorder, and we're still not really any wiser to what happened in terms of the Gardaí operation that night, particularly around resources, strategies and tactics. And we know that in the days after the riots, the Minister for Justice asked the policing authority to review the policing response to the riots. And it's clear there were issues in how it was handled and that the guards, you know, have much to learn and improve on. This review is essential to that. And yet nearly a year later, it remains unpublished. Okay. And it would be good for that to be published to ensure maximum transparency.
OK, stay with me, Olga, if you don't mind. I know you've quite a number of issues and concerns that you've outlined about this move by an Garda Síochána today. I've got Christy with us. Christy's a former Garda sergeant. Are the guards right, you know, to take this step, Christy, and to publish these images and to seek the public's, you know, assistance in this way?
Yeah, well, Andrea, listen to your previous speaker. You know, I mean, it's a very difficult position, the Gardaí. They are there primarily for the prevention, detection of crime, preservation of life and property. And they'll use any raw means to try to get the information that is required to bring a successful prosecution. Now, but there might be people or images of people there who could be able to assist the Gardaí in their inquiries. Nobody has been accused of anything. It's just to suggest that there are people that were in the immediate or vicinity of that vicinity or that area where the rioting occurred. But we have to look at it, you know, there was a serious situation that occurred in Dublin where misinformation was accrued. People went on a riot, took advantage of the fact of what happened in Dublin, went on a riot, damaged, did millions of pounds worth of damage, broke into shops, you know, put people in fear of their lives, Gardaí were injured. You know, that's what it is. We can't blame anybody else for this. Can't blame the guards. I mean, all right, the guard response. Well, that's a different issue. But there are people involved in serious rioting here, and the Gardaí are trying to identify them. Now, the Gardaí, I'm sure, have done a lot of work since this riot occurred, have gleaned a lot of information, obtained a lot of information, including forensics and everything else. So they use that as a last resort. Really, images are used as a last resort to find out or to try to glean more information as to who the persons are that they are trying to identify. And that's not uncommon. We've seen it all over the world, and police forces all over the world, including Crime Call UK and all of those as well. So that's nothing new. And I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't have released 99 images because it really would confuse a lot of people having 99 images out there. I'd have released them in batches of 10 if I was doing it, but I wouldn't have released 99 images straight away because that really does confuse people. And, people, you know, as good as witnesses are, people make mistakes. And as your previous caller said, you know, they are liable to make mistakes. But Gardaí are very aware of the fact that they need to not just depend on people or the public out there to identify people on those images, but damn sure, if a person is identified, that they are the person who is, on that image, that you can, they need to focus on all of the other evidence, if they have other circumstantial evidence or forensic evidence or witness statements. There's a whole plethora of things come. You're just not reliant on those images alone.
David Fegan is a solicitor and an expert in privacy law. Christy, David's also joining us here too on the programme. Are the guards right to publish photographs of, you know, what they describe as maybe some potential riot suspects?
Well, I suppose that's a yes or no question. I would agree with actually both speakers' comments so far. There are some things to consider. Firstly, people are familiar with GDPR. There's a kind of a GDPR for security and policing as well. It's a directive, not a regulation. So it's lawful for the guards to process data for the purposes of prevention, investigation, detection or prosecution of criminal offences. So there's nothing unlawful in the general concept as you would expect, that, you know, Gardaí process information for the purposes of detecting crime and apprehending criminals. But there is a requirement in that directive, which we brought into being, it came out at the same time as the GDPR, and it was put into place by the same Data Protection Act. It brought both of them in, as it were. But in the directive for criminal purposes, each member state has to essentially make a clear distinction between what you could describe as suspects, people convicted of criminal offences, victims of criminal offences, and other parties, i.e. witnesses, you know, people who could help police with their inquiry. So in relation to your first caller, where they said, look, there should have been an individual going through of each of these 99 persons, yes. For each time you want to publish that data, you really should be looking at that individual. You're kind of required to make a determination as to, you know, why, what, you know, are you looking for somebody to help with your inquiries, or are you looking for a suspect? Now, maybe these are all suspects, in which case, you know, that would meet that test, but I don't know that. And then there was also mention of, well, what about the risk to these persons being published? Yes, that's a risk. It's not just about data protection. There are risks that the Gardaí would have to weigh about the damage that they might cause to individuals who, if the information leads to adverse effects. And the retired Garda sergeant said that he wouldn't have done it in terms of, you know, releasing 100 photographs. He would have done it in batches. Mm. Well, I would agree with it, but I would also have honed it a bit more sharply from a data protection point of view. I would have released those of the most serious incidents, the ones where the, shall we say, the harm versus benefit was most clear. And I would be hoping that the release of some of those photographs might identify people, and that those people, when identified in questions, might identify some of the other people, and I wouldn't have to go on this broad trawl. So if it had been released in batches with what might be described as maybe the most important first, perhaps the need to publish all of these 99 pictures, you know, maybe they've only had to publish 50. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I think the answer is yes and no. And, you know, Don't shoot me, solicitors, you know, not answering a straight question. I'm answering it as straight as I can.
Yeah.
The Gardaí have the legal right in data protection terms to publish photographs if that's the best way to apprehend somebody having taken
account
of all the risk, etc.
Do you know what I mean? It's a year on.
That's a different question as to whether or not they should have been doing this a long time ago, which is, again, an issue. Perhaps it took that long to identify these people. Again, the question is, why did they wait till they had 99? Could they not have published, you know, the first three once they got them, etc., etc.? There's another thing I'd like to say. This has been described as being unprecedented as to scale, and I absolutely agree with your first speaker on that. And you made the very good point, and I made it to your researcher, it's no different individually to somebody appearing on Crime Line. And clearly it's not. But it is different as to scale. And when controller, which is, just give me one second, when the controller, which is the guards in this instance, want to adopt a new kind of a system, they're supposed to do a data protection impact. You're supposed to, before you launch something large like this, you're supposed to actually do an internal data protection exercise.
Well, we don't know that they didn't.
We don't know that they didn't, but again, we don't know that they did. So again, I would like to think that what the Gardaí did was a data protection impact assessment, looked at each of these photographs, decided that the risk of harm, you know, was outweighed by the benefit, that this was the only way they could do it, et cetera, which case then I would answer your question, yes.
Yeah, it is. I just want to bring in another caller on this, but I suppose it you could be seen too, David, just in a, you know, under a different banner of, it's kind of a different era of naming and shaming people too.
Absolutely. I mean, there's clear risks in the misuse of data. There's a reason why we have GDPR and the Data Protection Directive, you know, clearly because data can be easily misused. And in fairness, in the European Union, we were pretty much first to do that. I think the law actually was ahead of people. People only realised how bad this stuff could be after years of complaining about GDPR. And I think people are now perhaps realising some of the benefits of trying to regulate this area.
Jared Ney says they're totally right. The guards are totally right to post these images. Absolutely. Actions have consequences. Enda makes the point. I'm looking at the photographs now. You can see all sorts of things in some of these pictures. Peter says if the guards were allowed to use facial recognition technology, we absolutely wouldn't even need to take this step. Pat is on the line. Pat, do you agree with this move?
I don't, and as I said, the previous people that were speaking are questioning this in a various amount of. But what we need to do is question the whole policing of this state. And we're admitting now, and even the commissioner has admitted, mistakes were made. Now, the mistakes that were made, and I've seen this over 20 years because I've seen the type of policing and I have been left down with this type of policing. Basically, the bottom line is the people that conducted that type of behaviour in Dublin, without sending out any pictures to anybody, they are known to the guards because nobody.
Well, not always.
We don't necessarily
know that, Pat. And look, I know there, you know, there's obviously some cases too before the courts. But is it the actual, just to the point about the photographs being released? I take it you don't agree with that.
The photographs are basically a knee-jerk reaction. And as I said, your previous people have said it's badly thought out. And unfortunately, I believe these people, this could have been prevented. I'm a person that worked in road safety. We work in a proactive way. And the signs were there. These people weren't angels.
It's the policing model that you sort of take issue with about this. Just maybe on a final point, David, do you think that we're likely to see more moves like this in the future?
I think if it's successful, very obviously, if this turns out that a large number of people are identified from those photographs and the Gardaí deem it a success, then you'd have to expect that there might be more of them. If it turns out to be an abysmal failure, and in particular if there is some horrendous story of some poor individual being targeted and not being the person concerned, then you could see how it might fail. So, you know, to a degree, it might depend on the results. There is a huge risk always of something being wrongfully identified. Mm. And, imagine what happened if somebody's wrongly identified and beaten up or something. I mean, that would be front page news for weeks, and that would kill this instantly. On the other hand, if the Gardaí identify a lot of these people and have successful prosecutions as a result.
We might be talking about it. We might be talking about it again, David, if that's the case. Listener says, I think it's fantastic to see accountability, and maybe troublemakers will think twice next time. Another listener, are people now going to have to prove themselves innocent rather than the state proving their guilt? This texter makes the point. It's 087 1400 106. Is Olga for real listening to her today? This is why society and Dublin is in a state, because anybody can do whatever they want. These people need to be made accountable for what they did, and the Gardaí are right to send out and publish these pictures. Another listener says, why is your guest giving the benefit of the doubt to people who were clearly up to no good and should be brought to justice? They will have the right to a defence when they're in court. And finally, I think publishing the images is correct and a positive step, says this listener. And maybe those pictured will have to think about consequences into the future. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Do you agree with this move by the guards today to publish photographs of dozens of alleged rioters from the Dublin riots last year, or potentially people who they believe might have had some part or potentially took part or might even just know of people, or maybe they were in the vicinity and it's about ruling themselves out? The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.